On today's episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons, we sat down with Trent Taylor. While George recorded with Barstool, we grabbed the other side of the barn with the current Cincinnati Bengal wide receiver, good friend of George Kittle's, trains with him in the offseason. We talked about all of that and a whole lot more. Please enjoy this episode with Trent. Let's have a day. Let's go.
This week, kicks.
Oh my God!
Is he sponsored back here, or she?
No, look at those Bud Light shoes.
You gotta admit those are sweet shoes.
I'd fuck Dylan for him.
Okay, my goodness.
Welcome back. This is the Walk On Podcast, and today, special guest,
Deezy, Trent Taylor.
Hello, boys.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us, bub.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this kind of thing right here makes our trip more worth it.
I love it.
Because we're a brand that doesn't have a lot of money, and we spent a lot of money to get down here, so this is big. We're probably going to have you, Tyler, over there in the kitchen next. You're going to be back on the podcast.
Talk about that apple smoked sausage.
Give me some of that sausage, Tyler. Come on now.
Yeah.
Tell me this isn't a good idea, TZ.
Oh, yeah.
So, PMT just showed up to, or, yeah, it's PMT, right?
Yeah, pardon my tick.
They showed up to talk to George. They're good guys.
Yeah.
A bit nerdy.
Yeah.
They definitely got a few nerds.
I'm going to let them.
They're super nerdy, actually.
I'm going to let them do, like, their whole thing. You know, but then I'm going to beat them up and steal all their camera equipment. So this podcast just got a nice upgrade from PMT. So
I'll be on your side for that one.
Appreciate you, dog.
Yeah, Drake.
Who's the biggest battle? Big Cat?
None of them. There's no battle.
Just because he's a big dude?
The other guy that's, what's his name? You know him. The guy with the hat.
There's like four of them in there.
No.
PLL hat.
PLL hat.
Oh, that's Billy.
Billy. Yeah.
Billy. I would say Billy and...
Yeah, that's probably...
Billy and Big Cat are the only threats.
Well, yeah. Billy boxed Jose Canseco.
Did he really?
He did. Yeah.
Holy shit.
And he like beat him up,
well,
right?
Jose took a dive, but...
He's got... Yeah.
He looked prepared.
Billy's somewhat fit.
Yeah.
He's a 6'4 guy. I mean,
Hey, he's a fellow Division III guy, so I have to I have to give him the respect he deserves.
He played football.
Or he played lacrosse.
His name's Billy Football.
Oh, well, the fuck? I mean, how many people have...
So how did Billy get the name Billy Football?
You just give yourself that name.
I think he played in high school, maybe.
Are you TV football?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, shit.
Trent Football.
It's just ever since Johnny Football came out, then everybody just starts putting their name with football. So
yeah.
That's a great gift you can give as a parent, is give your kid a name that can like end in Y. Every nickname works perfectly.
Yeah.
Everything works.
True. Yeah. So we got Trent Taylor on the podcast. Where'd you go to high school?
In Shreveport, Louisiana.
Shout out to the state of Louisiana. Yeah,
from the boot,
you're from down there, huh?
Yeah, from down south. I was born in Tennessee, and I grew up most of my life in Louisiana. So like after I went to Louisiana Tech, my parents moved back up here to Nashville. So that's kind of how I
ended
up.
You're a southern boy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Shout out to the queen, best realtor in all of Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. She's killing it right now. My mom.
His mother is the one who sold us our place in Nashville.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah. She sold George this spot out here.
Hell yeah.
And so ever since she worked with George, then George just kind of refers her to every single person he talks to. So.
Absolutely.
Ever since then, business has been good for her.
I feel like if you associate yourself with George and the absolute... mega like star son in the universe that he is.
Yeah,
things kind of go well.
He's just a big hype man too. He'll hype up whoever he likes. He's gonna hype him.
Isn't
up
he
to the fullest? Yeah.
Isn't it crazy? Like we talked about him that with him yesterday on the pod we recorded with him. How he just like most people would not just invite this many people onto their property in their home. Like
it's chaotic out here.
It's crazy.
It really is. Every time I come work out here, I'm like, I got to get out of here. This is stressful.
Yes,
but this isn't even my house, so it's like, I don't know how he does it. But
like yesterday, they're shooting the commercial. There's just truckloads of people coming into his property. It like you said, it's not my place, but I feel anxiety.
Yeah, bro, I don't know how they do
it. It's crazy. So you go to Law Tech, mm-hmm. and just absolutely dominate?
Ball.
You could say so. Yeah.
Like, you kind of did.
I think so. I broke some records out there.
Do you still have records out there?
I have the receptions record. I have the, actually, I don't know if I have the receiving yards in a season. I might. But Troy Edwards, back in, like, the 90s, he was a baller. He had, like, most all records. It's kind of like me and him. And Quentin Patton had some records. Another Niners guy. But, yeah, I know for sure I have the receptions record, but I'm not sure about everything else.
When you got to La Tech, was it a thing where you were confident you were going to be able to play on that level? Or was that a thing that really, like, kind of evolved over time to where by the time you're towards the end of your career, like, damn, I really elevated myself here.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was that confident because going out of high school, that was like my only scholarship offer. So I was like, I really kind of got to grind this out and prove to them that I belong.
Walk-on mentality.
And yeah, pretty much. That's it. I mean, I'm 5'8 white guy, so I will always have the walk-on mentality.
That's what welcome
to
the podcast.
Let's go, baby.
Hey, I got the white guy thing. I clear 6 feet.
Drake's the only one over 6 foot on this podcast right now.
Drake had to make that clear.
You're kind of beating the odds, though. Like, it's tough to, like, size matters a little bit.
100%.
So that's why I was like, Trent, we got to get you on the podcast because you kind of personify what our show, you guys are good. The lights are fine. Yeah. You can turn them off, turn them on. I don't care. That's your dojo over there. And so you start balling, start breaking some records. When did you think that you had a shot at, like, damn, I might be able to make money playing football?
Yeah, you know, it was always, like, my dream. Like, I always wanted to play in the NFL, obviously, but I never had a plan set out. I just always was like, I got to get better, got to get better, got to get better type of thing. And, you know, like, going into my senior year of football, like, spring practice and whatnot, some scouts would roll through, and they're like, you know, these scouts want to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, dang. I was like, you know, maybe I do have a shot at this. I don't know, because I know it was always going to be super tough being a 5'8", not too fast white guy. So
pretty fast. I was actually
like, my 40 was a 4.6. That's not blazing.
No.
I had the fastest shuttle time.
Agile.
Combined. Yeah, so.
What'd you run 5.10.5?
I ran a 4 flat.
Okay.
Yeah, I was really hoping to get in the threes, but it was a 4 flat. So, but yeah, that worked for me.
Four's fast. Yeah. That's kind of coming from Iowa, that's a... We used to do that drill, like, as our...
We were taught the best way to, like, the cheater's way to do a 5.10.5.
How was that?
You open up, take a crossover step. You take two steps to get to the first line, and then after your second turn, you don't take a crossover step either.
And it looks slow, but it's fast.
It's just...
So were y'all crushing times? Or what?
So,
we're
all under four.
So
shut up.
So I as a long snapper, ran 3.99. And that was the record.
Dude.
And all of our our starting linebackers were all like low three nines.
Bro, what?
Yeah.
It was the technique.
I never even heard that.
We were taught a cheater's way to do it, and it fucking
worked. Would you be allowed to do that?
Oh, yeah. It's not cheating. Yeah. It's just a different step technique. Like,
really?
Yeah, yeah. But we used to have these crazy, we would line up all the way down a yard line. And we would do what we call ground starts. But it was a 5.10.5 drill once you were on your feet. So you're starting in the middle, and you're going right, left, back through.
Okay, yeah.
But you're starting in weird positions, getting up off the ground. So you might be starting push-up position. You might be starting on your knees. And we used to line up the running backs, the linebackers, the specialists, and we would just have, like, 20-person races. Everybody going on.
I got to figure out this trick that y'all got.
Well, sure,
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, it don't
anymore,
mean shit for you anymore. Yeah.
It doesn't matter at all. So
but if someday... You go into, like, teaching speed work after your career. That might be one. Yeah. That might be a.
I'm gonna call y'all up on that one.
Absolutely,
for sure.
I'll call. Yeah, that would be sick. So I remember the first time. You know, those scouts show up at practice. Obviously, at Iowa, there's guys all over the place looking at, like, some of our big dogs, and then they they walk around the edge of the field.
Did you play at Iowa?
Yeah. I was a long snapper.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So. You know, they walk over to, like, where the specialists are, and we're, like, kicking balls and shit. And
just dicking around.
Playing golf.
Always.
Like, they always do.
You know, we don't do shit.
Yeah.
But towards the junior, senior year, same thing. Like, a couple scouts would, like, take a second, watch me do a couple snaps. I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh shit, they're paying attention.
How's that? Like, I know that feeling of like, oh my God, they're, I don't even care. Like, I don't care if I ever play in the NFL. This scout is looking at me right now. So you probably had to feel pretty good once they were like trying to talk to you and shit.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, it was still always an unknown. Like, they're talking to me. I'm like, you know, I could be a free agent. Like, does this mean they're going to draft me? I have no idea. It's all such an unknown world. And it was just like, dang, this is really cool. But I also, like, I need to get back to work at the same time. It was something that I was like, obviously, it, like, catches your attention, and it's, like, a really cool thought, but I'll try my best, like, not to think about it.
Yeah, because
I guess it worked out.
Because it's distracting.
Yeah.
You came out the same year George did, right?
Yep.
Rookies together.
Yep.
And
roommates at Exos.
Yes.
Yeah, we trained. We did all the pre-draft training. That's, like, when I met George.
Is that down in Texas?
Yeah, Frisco, Texas.
Yeah.
And then, so George, the Niners had 2 5th-round picks, and they picked George, like, the early 5th-round pick, and then I was the 5th-round pick, like, right after him.
And that had to be so sick for you guys.
Dude, it was insane. Like, which I didn't even – I wasn't even really paying attention to George. I was just, like, looking at my phone waiting for a call the whole time. So, like, we're obviously celebrating, and then I get a FaceTime from George. I was like, oh, he's, like – he wants to, like, congratulate me or something. He's like, dude, we're both Niners. And I was like, bro, what? And we're all just like on FaceTime, like, let's go.
It had to, that literally, the hype, that had to feel like an absolute like fantasy after you just trained with each other for the.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. Now
which that was like the biggest deal, just like having a friend going into the NFL. Like
absolutely.
That, yeah. That meant everything.
That's
yeah.
so sick. So you guys move in together out in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And man, it was so fun to follow you guys like with the Panda Monday. Like we talked about that yesterday when, and you guys are like, it probably felt like college again. Like you move in, and
it really was. You're just rooming, and I mean, obviously George is he's a character for sure. So I'm like more of a quiet guy. So I like hanging around those kind of guys.
Yeah.
But George has always been the outgoing, wild guy, and he starts the Panda Mondays. We start doing all this kind of stuff, which was fun. Like we would always go hang out and do things together around town, and then he starts blowing up, it starts to become a little bit tough because he's way too noticeable. He's this big 6'5".
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can do that my whole life. I can go into any building.
Facts.
Nobody knows who I am, which is which is super nice. But, it started becoming tough, like, hanging out with George.
George can't, like, I would trade everything, right, to, like, live the, you know, have this facility, be George Kittle. Like, it's an amazing life. But there are a couple shitty parts about it. And the one shitty part is, like, I was just telling Grant yesterday when we left to go back to the hotel. Like, there's no George in George's life. There is no, like, hey, I'm just going to run to the grocery store quick.
No,
like,
yeah, not at all.
You just get, he's got the long hair. He's got a face that nobody else has.
Yeah.
He's 6'5". Like,
yoked up, tatted up.
Yeah, you know, like, he's just a noticeable guy. You see that guy. And if you don't know who George is, you're like,
he's somebody.
He does something. Yeah, like
he does something.
Yeah. Whereas, like, if you see me or you at the grocery store, you're just like, eh, just another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People ask me, they're like, do you ever hang out with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati? Like, no, that dude can't
He doesn't hang with anybody.
No, he
actually made a comment about that, right?
Who,
just not too long ago, he said, like, it's been tough to transition to,
him?
Like, not being able to do anything.
Was that him that said, like, I just like, want to be able to go to the grocery store?
I just want to be normal.
He probably did, yeah.
It's a life where, God, I mean, Joey B is fucking, he can't do anything. He's not like George. Either. I mean, like, it's, you give up a little bit of the simplicities in life. So you were in, you were at the 49ers for how long?
For 4 years.
Was that tough to, like, leave there and, like, because you build relationships, right?
It was, yeah, 100%. I think we had, like, one of the closest teams in the NFL. Guys would always come in and talk about, like, how close that team was in San Fran. Like, how different it was, how everybody was, like, more of a family compared to most NFL teams.
It's kind of like a college team?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I was super close with everybody there. And so, like, obviously, like, I kind of understand that I'm probably not going to get signed back because I was going through injuries and I wasn't producing.
That foot injury was tough, dude, because you were doing super well. They were talking about teasing you to catch 800 balls, and that foot injury just fucking sucked.
It's super annoying to, like, look back at that kind of stuff, like, because you're just talking about, like, coulda, woulda, shoulda type of thing.
Right. What happened? How did it happen?
I had a Jones fracture. It's like my pinky bone, pinky toe bone. So I was supposed to only miss like one or two games to start the season. But then they kind of mess up the surgery with the screw in my foot.
You're shitting me.
They try to go back in and like fix it up. Next thing you know, there's a infection in my foot. So they think they're just going to go back in for a third surgery, clean it all out. Next thing you know, it's not fully cleaned out. It's like the infection's like deep in my bone. So it takes,
that's some dangerous shit,
bro.
Yeah.
Like kind of like lose your foot kind of stuff.
Yeah. That, yeah. Like scary stuff. Like Alex Smith, like obviously not to that extent, but it was like
same kind of
thing. It was getting to that point.
Oh my God. I did not know this.
Yeah. So like it took two more surgeries to like clean it all out. And I had to put a PICC line in my arm, like an IV thing, like sat in my arm for 6 weeks.
For the antibiotics.
For the antibiotics, yeah. And it was like every 4 hours for 6 weeks, I had to inject myself with antibiotics.
Dude.
A crazy experience, dude.
That's so annoying.
Because I'm just at the doctor, and they're like, yeah, like, here's all your, you know, we'll refill you every week or so. And, you know, do this every 4 hours. But then every hour before you take it, you got to take it out of the fridge so it cools down. And there's like all these steps. It's like a 30-minute process of injecting antibiotics into myself.
So your entire life became like, I need to like keep my foot.
Yeah.
Instead of like, I'm trying to be a pro athlete.
Yeah. At that point, I'm just like praying that like we get the infection out and everything's going to be clear.
That's insanity.
Like, yeah. So I ended up missing that whole season when I was supposed to miss like one or two games at the start. And that was like the Super Bowl run too. So I'm at the Super Bowl in a boot, just like watching, dude. It was tough.
Mentally, that fucks with you.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think it was funny because like my mom was so wrecked through it all because she was like worried about me, but it like got to the point to where I was like, all right, I need to be strong in all this because my mom might lose her mind herself. But, you know, I've kind of always been good with that kind of stuff, you know, just roll with the punches and, you know, control the things that you can control. I think that's nothing teaches you that like the NFL is just like learning how to control the things that you can control. You know, if you sit around and start pouting about, you know, bad things that are happening to you, you know, coach isn't putting me in, I deserve more playing time. Those are the guys who find themselves weeding themselves out of the NFL. So you don't really have a choice but to just figure out what you can do. And
at that level, if you put any of your energy into the negative side of it, you're
wasting a ton of energy, and then you're just getting more behind the eight ball at that point.
That's crazy. So they release you or whatever, and
Well, like my contract was up.
Contract expires.
And it was like a mutual thing. Like I went into Shanahan's office and I was like, you know, I know like y'all probably don't want to sign me back. And, you know, I feel like I need a fresh start myself. So like it was like a mutual respect thing. Like I respect everything about Shanahan and that whole coaching staff. They were always great. You know, always pushed me to be the best. And I loved every second of being there with the Niners. But I just had to go.
So after that, are you already talking to your agent like, hey, like we need to find a spot, or how does that process work then?
Yeah, so I was a free agent that next year. What was that? Going into the 2021 season. Or it might have been the 2020 season. But
and now you're dealing with COVID too. That's so
crazy. Like the tryouts and all that were pretty weird. But yeah, I was a free agent like through the start of OTAs. I did a couple workouts. I did a workout with the Patriots, and then I did a workout with the Bengals.
Okay.
But then like right after the workout with the Bengals, they said they wanted to sign me. So
that's sick.
I was like, let's
you
do
fit
it.
The Bill Belichick mold.
I was gonna
perfect.
I was gonna say Patriots. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's. I was like super. I was like, I really want to be a Patriot. Like that would be super dope. Like,
yeah.
I know I would love it out there, but I think it all worked out perfectly. Like Cincinnati's a great spot for me to be, like with Joe Burrow. Like obviously my first year there, they hadn't done anything good. Like Joe got hurt. They were below 500 the year before. And then, you know, we got everybody, you know, Joe was healthy again, got some more guys. Jamar Chase got in there, started balling. So it's like the best place I could be right now.
The come up in Cincinnati has been wild.
It's been a long time coming for them for sure, but yeah, they're finally up. We need to get Joe Burrow paid now. So
that's going to be tough for the rest of the roster.
Yeah. They're about to break the bank with that one, which they don't have a choice. They can't.
Have to.
You can't let Joe Burrow get rid of him.
Because he's he balled out at LSU, came in, and probably established himself as a top five guy in the league immediately.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, you're probably looking at Pat, Josh. Who else? Him?
I would go Pat, then Joe.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Then Joe.
Yeah. I mean, Joe's gone to the Super Bowl, and as much as the Bills are fun and they're cool, like, Joe's gotten farther than Josh has.
Yeah, 100%.
And he has a better record against Mahomes, I think.
What's he like as a guy in the locker room?
Joe?
Yeah.
He's kind of a quiet guy. We play ping pong together all the time, though. Yeah. It's like me, him, and Tyler Boyd are kind of like the top ping pong players. So
are you still the ping pong king?
I'm still the king. Yeah. Let's make that clear.
Yeah.
But
Do you want the throne? You want the crown? Talk to TZ.
Okay. Did you used to play against CJ?
Oh, yeah. Me and CJ used to go at it.
Because CJ's good.
He's dirty.
Yeah.
He might be a little bit better than me.
He absolutely wiped everybody at Iowa off the floor.
Yeah. So, dude, we would be in the locker room in San Fran sweating our asses off playing against each other. Just nonstop. So, like, he's just like, he just sits back and just kind of hits it like that. I'm like full on. Boom, like hitting it as hard as I can. He's just dinks it back, and I hit it as hard as I can. He just dinks it back, and that's like the whole game for us.
CJ is just like, he's just so good at everything.
Yeah, he's annoying. But he's good, though. He's really good.
Pisses me off CJ hasn't been out here, dude. I miss CJ.
I would love to sit down with CJ so
bad. He's got his house in Jacksonville now. So mm-hmm. He's
on the beach, there, dude. Yeah. He walks out his not back door, spot. And he's on the beach.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
So you get picked up. Joe and Jamar Chase. What's it like being in the...
You guys got one of the most coolest receiver rooms.
I went there for OTAs my first year. This is my third year with the Bengals now, but my first year, I showed up. Jamar's a rookie. We got T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd.
We played against Boyd in college.
Did he ball out?
Pittsburgh, he balled.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
Desmond King, who plays for the Texans, was having his Thorpe year, and
he killed it.
We basically put Desmond on Boyd, and it was like a one-on-one. It was like the match. Oh, really? It was the matchup of the game. We ended up winning that game on a last second 57-yard field goal.
Damn.
Yeah, it was pretty sick.
Oh yeah.
But he's a dog.
Yeah.
Higgins is a dog. Chase is a dog. You guys are stacked.
As soon as we left OTAs, I remember I like came back to the barn. Like George was asking me like how I was. I'm like, dude, we have the best receiving core in the league. Like easy.
You weren't wrong.
And like everyone at that time, they like thought I was dumb. They're like, dude, like what are you talking about? I started naming everybody else. I'm like, bro, I'm telling you. And then like next thing you know, we go into that season. All three of those dudes are balling out. I think they all three got 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Super Bowl and they're still killing it. You know, T. Higgins, he's about to have to get paid, too. So this is probably the last year of them three being our starters. People got to get paid.
It's the business of the NFL. The business of the NFL, honestly, sometimes it ruins, like, some of the sick teams that are put together.
It really does. But, like, you can't blame guys for trying to go get their money.
No, and that's the thing, right? Like, it's a profession. Yeah. We're talking about you damn near losing a foot, like, trying to be an athlete and do all this shit. Like, you guys deserve more than what you guys get, you know, and what's required in the offseason. I mean, we see what George has. You need all these resources to be the best athlete you could 100%. Possibly be. But, man, sometimes it's like you're breaking up the gang because there's just not enough money to pay everybody. Yeah. It's like, you got to go get the kid, huh? Man.
Who, Bang?
You got to discipline him, huh? That's great. So this will be year three in Cincinnati?
Yeah, my third year in Cincinnati, yeah.
What's the biggest difference between Cincinnati culture, coaches, players?
Oh, dude, it is.
And 49ers?
I went from, like, they're, like, the two most different franchises. Like, I didn't know franchises could be so different with, like, the kind of money they spend, like, on facilities and food. Like, the Niners, they were, like, top-of-the-line cafeteria, recovery equipment, and all that. I think Cincinnati might be bottom.
They've been bottom.
They might be bottom of the barrel, yeah.
Like, as far as, like,
Like, the
amenities.
Cafeteria is like, it's like my elementary school cafeteria. Yikes. Food. It's not good. Everybody complains about it, but, like, I'm like, dude, like, Joe, like, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, like, y'all need to go say something.
Like, let's get some changes made around here.
Somebody's got to go speak up. Because
I thought it happened. I thought you guys were building new facilities.
We're building a new, like, training facility right now, like a new recovery room with, like, the red light therapy and all that. Yeah. So are fixing that. That is going to be nice.
Is Cincinnati still the only place that doesn't have an indoor practice facility?
We just built one last year.
You just got one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just got one last year.
That's bullshit.
Because it gets cold.
Cold as shit?
During the my first year there when we went to the Super Bowl, that whole playoff run, we're just like, we're on our turf outside. It's like frozen turf. There's snow all around.
Everything hurts.
Sometimes it's like pouring down rain. It's like, you know, you never know what's going to happen on game day. We got to be prepared. Like, dude, come on. What are we talking about? Like, we can't even get a practice in.
I can't imagine being the owner of an NFL organization. Your goal has to be to win Super Bowls, right? Why are you owning
that's what...
And you don't have proper recovery facilities.
Yeah.
The very best ability in the NFL is availability. Everybody's known that forever. You don't even have the facilities for your fucking rehab. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's tough, dude. But they're fixing that now, though. It's been a long time coming, but
yeah, you show up to a Super Bowl.
I was gonna say,
it's like, okay,
run yourself down the playoffs all the way to the final game, and that might change some things.
Yeah.
Guy like Joe Burrow, that might change.
Finally, making a little bit of money now, so.
I watched.
We just got to fix the cafeteria now. Then I'll be straight. Because I can't, like, every day they have like pizza and hot dogs.
You're telling me they don't have chefs?
They do have chefs, but the chefs aren't. They're not like chefs. They're just.
You're eating.
You have cooks, dude.
You're eating daycare
food.
Do they
have lunch lady arms?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh my god.
I'm not gonna sit here and dog the whole organization right now.
I am. TZ's eating fucking chicken nuggets on Friday.
Hot dogs in an NFL facility?
Like they got the hotline food where they have like some chicken, some vegetables and whatnot. But then the other option is like pizza, pasta.
This is like the dorm cafeteria.
Sort of kinda, yeah.
That's wild.
I think they'll fix it here soon, though.
I can't believe
it. We gotta keep winning.
Facts. I mean,
yeah.
I think your guys'
roster is set to keep winning.
I was gonna say,
yeah.
At least
our defense is pretty legit too.
Pretty legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had to let go. Like we couldn't pay Von Bell and Jesse Bates, our two safeties, which they were both ballers. Mm-hmm. Had to let them go, but we got some rookies coming in. Hopefully they can ball out for us.
Getting rookies is so huge. I think. And hitting because
you have
to
hit on your rookies because then you're draft capital.
Well,
if you look at the teams who do so well every so often, I saw this. It's like most of those teams have QBs on their rookie contracts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other than the Chiefs, who have been able to figure it out.
It's the salary cap, dude.
It's the money. Like you and the quarterback takes up so much of that. It's just like you got to figure it out, Bane. Come on, bud. Come on, bud. Figure it out. You should be tired. Shouldn't he be tired? My guy's been...
Him and Deanie are just going at it.
Going after it this morning during the workout?
Yeah.
Yeah, if he tries to get up, he's going to get smacked on camera.
Just
blur it out.
That's animal abuse.
Just blur it out.
Bane, you're a good boy.
You are a good dog.
What were we... I had to do cardio.
About the salary cap and all that.
You know, I was going to go to the workout that we just did this morning. We had a little arm day, a little upper body.
Dude, we pumped it big time.
I was on the bike doing cardio. So what'd you guys
hit? So many curls.
900 reps of curls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we did biceps heavy, huh?
We did.
I missed out on that.
We did like curl pull-ups. We did reverse dumbbell curls. We did band curls.
It's because George was the strength coach for the day.
I thought Arm Farm was on Friday, and here I got two bicep
I'm toast
tears
right now. I'm going to Africa tomorrow, so I came in here
tomorrow.
Hold on a second. Whoa, whoa, whoa! You're going to Africa?
Yeah, we got like a whole week long like safari trip like
where?
Set up. We fly into Johannesburg,
yeah,
and then we like take some little
so you're going straight
puddle
north.
Jumper plane somewhere else. I'm not sure.
Fly into the bottom of the barrel and then going north from there.
I don't even know, honestly. I just know it's Africa.
He hits us with, I'm going to Africa tomorrow.
Wow.
Have you ever been to Africa?
No, that's like my first big trip like out of the country I'm going to be taking.
Okay.
Cabo doesn't count.
You and the wife, obviously, right?
It's kind of like Americanized. Yeah.
Spring break.
What'd you and your wife?
Yeah, and her parents, too.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's so nuts. You
don't tell my girlfriend because she'll be pissed that I haven't taken her to fucking Africa.
Yeah, my wife just like is happy with like Kansas City. Yeah. Like going like, hey, we're gonna go to Kansas City for the weekend.
Yeah.
I can't do Africa.
We went 3 weeks on a van vacation and we get back in 2 days later. She's like, man, I'm dying for a vacation. Who the fuck are
Kaylee said that?
I'm like, hey, Bill Gates, chill out, huh?
Dude, my parents are hilarious. They're like, yeah, we got a little getaway this weekend. I'm like, where? They're like, oh, downtown Nashville.
We're going into the city.
Like, yeah, we're gonna just stay there and like eat at a bunch of places.
Dude, I'll
like,
tell you what though.
It's a staycation.
If you get a spot at one of the nice hotels down in Nashville and just order room service, that's clean living.
It's not bad.
It's clean living.
Do you
I would do that. I would definitely do that.
Do you like to get away like that and get away from like George, he immediately once the off season hits, you see him in like Bahamas. We did a podcast with him remote. He was like in the Bahamas.
Oh really?
Do you like to get away like that or you kind of chill homebody?
Yeah, like after the season we always like it's usually with George and a couple other guys. Well,
Mexico.
Like when I was in San Francisco we would always go to Cabo.
Yep.
We did that once when I was in Cincinnati. We haven't done that the past couple of years though. But yeah, at the end of the season you always take like some type of trip like
have
that.
To.
Yeah, you got to.
Cuz you're just it's late July all the way through hopefully January, February.
Yeah.
And
which is, yeah, like the past couple seasons, we went all the way to like mid-February with the Bengals. So, which is the worst. You lose the Super Bowl. It's like, damn, I just wasted a month and I didn't get anything out of it. Mm-hmm. Which, it's still fun.
The experience is crazy.
100%.
But it hurts.
And you get paid a little bit more. So,
most guys,
it's fine.
The way we've talked to it, though, like most guys actually take a pay cut because you're making your salary through week 18 or 19.
Their game checks are usually, like, the higher paid guys, their game checks are way bigger than, like, the playoff checks.
Right, because you're only getting, like, what, 40K?
Yeah, the first round is, like, 40K, then it goes, like, 60, then 80.
Wait a minute.
So Joe Burrow,
you're telling me.
Joe Burrow goes from, like, a million a week down to, like, 40K a week.
Yeah.
Which, he's going to be all right, but it's just such a crazy.
He'll be fine, yeah.
Wait. You're telling me. Hold on. Okay. Let me get this straight.
Your hair is ridiculous, dude.
NFL players make $40,000 a game for playoff games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a steal for the NFL, dude.
Yeah, they're making out like...
You know, robbery is like a chargeable offense,
number,
right?
But
like, so if I came to your house and just took all your shit and left and you called the cops, I'm going to jail. That's what these motherfuckers are doing.
They're just taking all your shit and leaving. Off those playoff games?
Unbelievable.
And yeah, it's...
They got
to
NFL.
We got to change something. Watch the Walk-Ons podcast is going to start a fucking stand.
I don't know if we're going to do shit, but we should probably talk to George. Might have a little pull on that. He could start asking for a little more for the boys.
Well,
you know?
We just like signed our 10-year long CBA deal,
yeah, which was a mistake.
Such a joke, dude. It was a big joke.
What? Where was?
Is it really a 10-year? I thought it was
I
a three.
So.
That's bad.
Enlighten me. What's the mistake? Where did we fuck up on that?
So go ahead, TZ.
There's so much to break down with that. What was
one of the things they flat out agreed to without
the extra game?
The extra game without the extra bye week.
So we get the extra game with no extra money. It's just like added on and your check gets split up.
Yeah, it just instead of getting a million, you're getting 900,000 a week.
So
and you're just playing an extra game for money you already would have been making.
Also, they slipped in there to where we don't get paid our full salary from like week 1 to week 17. It's now split up into like 36 weeks, which like goes like into the off season. So you don't get your money all in like one big lump sum. If you like want to make an investment, you want to do whatever.
Which is huge for you guys because those bigger, like when you have that kind of money, you're trying to like move it around. And
the earlier you get it, the better for you.
Yeah.
So now they like made this whole thing like, we want to help people not spend their money, so we're going to spread it out for 36 weeks. Like, that's such BS, dude.
Unreal.
Which they can put that stuff like in an investment and make all the money.
Mm-hmm. What do you think they're doing? That's exactly what they're doing.
So it's just a bunch of little stuff like that, but I don't make enough money to really have a voice and change anything on it.
Sure.
But the one positive I see is that you don't have to pay state income tax on the when you're not in Cincinnati, because you live in Tennessee. Yeah. So like the money they're paying you through the off season, you're cool on the state.
They're paying me Tennessee.
Well, yeah, like because your primary residence is Tennessee and you're living in Tennessee.
But it's still the money from being in Cincinnati.
It doesn't matter, though. It shouldn't matter, because when you play in Jacksonville, you don't pay a state income tax on that money.
I thought it was.
It should be the same.
I thought it was wherever you played the game.
No, it's his primary residence. Well, yeah, during when you play the game, but they're not splitting it up 17
weeks.
Oh,
you're
now.
Saying
they're
now once the season's over,
for that
money.
Extra 16 or 19 weeks.
Are you sure?
So but it's still confident. Like the money that you earn from that game at that location.
I think it's going to be all the ones in the offseason are going to be probably linked to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That would suck. If that's the case, then they're fucking you every which way to Sunday.
Yeah, they got away with it.
Trent's got to walk in there with some dynamite and just like blow shit up.
It would be good for Cincinnati. They'd finally build a new fucking cafeteria.
You're right. You're right.
Stop with the lunch ladies.
Yeah. Dude,
I love all those ladies and the guys in there that work. I love them. Because they did the report card. Did y'all see that stuff?
Yep.
That came out.
I saw it.
Arizona was actually the worst.
And was it really?
Ben Neiman's has said Arizona's tough.
Dang, I've never been out there, but yeah, they like the Cincinnati. We were like bottom three or something like that, and like all the ladies in there that were working, they were like offended. They were like so hurt, and we had to go talk to them. We're like, no, they're like, it's not y'all's fault.
They're doing their best, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're doing everything that they can. It's just the money that the organization is putting into the cafeteria that.
They're making DiGiorno as the best they can.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Like, we can do a little bit better than
DiGiorno's
that.
DiGiorno's are good. I have a DiGiorno once a week.
That's why every time I see the pizza, I'm like, damn, that would be nice. But I'm going to stay away from it right now.
How do you approach nutrition? Are you trying to, eat clean?
I'm not like crazy, like detailed in my nutrition, but you know, what I've kind of started going to, I've seen people go on the like all meat and fruit
carnivore
type diet, which I think I like that. I've done that a little bit, and you know, I feel good doing it. So that's kind of lately I've just been eating like a bunch of steak and fruit.
Well,
that's a good diet.
It cuts out all the processed carbs, which is
like whenever I can like plan that out, I will. But obviously, I'll still go hit up Chick-fil-A or like order some DoorDash every
night. We smashed Chick-fil-A last night.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A is the best.
We ate Hattie B's for lunch and then went to Chick-fil-A for dinner. Fuck.
I might have turned back around and got Chick-fil-A this morning.
Then we went to Jenny's after that. Ice cream.
Ooh, that's good.
We're so fat. Yeah. I feel like shit today.
I mean, we got it in today. You were hitting like a little CrossFit workout
at the end there. Yeah, okay. I did. So
you're a big CrossFit guy.
Yeah,
he's the CrossFit guy.
I don't know about the CrossFit guy. Let's go is usually not the reaction that people give me. They're like, oh, you're that guy. Okay, cool. it's good though. It's good. It does good for me. Yeah. Are you big into the fitness and the nutrition? Do you like that stuff? That part of the game, or do you?
I think, you know, I've seen some guys in the NFL that they kind of consume their whole life with
around it.
Nutrition and like trying to eat as clean as possible and like being on the most strict schedule of all time. But I think you can overdo it to some point, because at the end of the day, like, football's a game, you know, it's gotta be something that you love to do. It's not, and there's so much like nuance to it too. Like, you can coach it up as much as you want, but once you get on the field, like, you never know what's going to happen. You got to know how to adjust and make things happen on the fly. So you see the guys who like have the strict schedule and they like try to focus on every little detail on the field. And then as soon as they get hit in the mouth, they don't know how to act. So, you know, I don't try to get too strict with all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. There's no TB12 method in Trent's life.
Yeah. It kind of makes more sense for a quarterback.
Sure.
Those guys, they kind of have to be like that, like super detailed on point with everything.
Is there anything like that in your routine or a part of your you being a professional athlete that you are sort of nitpicky with? Something you really like, something recovery wise, or maybe it's during the season, something you do every single day or once a week that you're just like, I need this.
No, I mean, I've started to do, you know, I do like IVs on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I usually do those twice a week.
Big on vitamins?
Yeah, I take vitamins
good.
Every day.
Keep like crushing vitamins.
Typical. I've been doing that ever since like I had the foot issue.
Yeah, that's
just for like
big.
All the bone health vitamins. I try to take all those and like joint stuff.
To that point, if you get all your vitamins, then it's just energy resources.
Yeah. Which that's why, and I do the, what's it called when they take the blood out?
Like, are you talking
they
about
take the blood out
plasma?
And they put the,
oh, PRP.
No, not PRP.
EPO?
They put like the oxygen in your blood and put it back in. Dude, we've done it sitting here a couple times.
Really?
Yeah. I got to think. I don't
is that
know
O2? Right now. I don't know what that is, bro.
I'm stumped.
That sounds like some Lance Armstrong
I
shit,
can't
if I'm being honest.
Right now. I'm not going to try to, but.
What was I just going to ask? You, fuck, you got any questions, G-Bone?
Got it, G-Bone.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, go too far back, but so I remember watching you guys in that 2021 season. It felt like from, like, me sitting on my couch watching Red Zone that every week it was, like, kind of like you didn't know what to expect from the Bengals. Like, some weeks you guys looked like that Super Bowl team, and other weeks you were like, what happened?
Yeah.
Did it feel like that in the locker room you guys were like if it was lost, like, we know we're a Super Bowl caliber team? Or like, was it kind of all over the place like that? Did it feel like that?
I think most of the guys in the locker, I think we knew we had the talent.
Right.
It was about just like putting those pieces together the right way.
Consistently.
Which is like so hard because it was like we had so much good talent in that room with like Hayden Hurst, who we just lost to the Panthers. Like he was incredible for us.
That guy's a baller too.
So yeah, we had all these pieces that like we've never had before. Like the coaches, it was the first time that they were dealing with, you know, Jamar Chase as a rookie and all these different guys. So like they were just kind of learning on the fly on like how to piece it all together, right. Which was it was all a new deal. Like so that's like how it was. We knew we had the talent, but it was about just like if we were able to piece it together or not. Yeah. So
is there like you talked about OTAs, but was there like a specific game that happened? You were like, oh shit, like we're like a really legit team. Like we were right. Cause I remember like you guys just beat the crap out of the Ravens in one game in 2021. I was like, oh shoot, like the Bengals are here. Like they're ready to go. Was there a specific game that you noticed?
Man, I'm not sure. I don't know. I wouldn't say so. It was like for me because I knew like the season that the Bengals had before. So it was like every time we kept winning more and more games, it was like, oh wow, like I guess we are this good. And then we would beat another team by a good amount. It's like, oh, we're like even better than I thought. And just like every playoff game after that, it was like, dude, we really like, we really got the talent to go win this thing.
That sounds like 2015 a lot, doesn't it, Drake?
Yeah, we got pretty confident at the end. Originally, it was kind of like, what's happening?
You start to every game that happens, you're just like, damn, like
because
we're really...
at the end of the season, it was like we went on like an 8-game winning streak or something like that. So it
feels like you can't lose.
It was like I make a joke about this all the time because I was on practice squad that first year until the Broncos game, which was like a little bit more than halfway through the season. And then we won every game after that once I was the punt returner. So I was like, I'll take a little credit. Let's go.
I don't know what the difference was. I do know one change was made.
My wife, she's amazing. She like actually would like hype me up. And she's like, yeah, they finally started putting you in. That's why.
Let's go.
Your wife's a sports psychologist, right?
Yeah.
Oh, she is.
I mean, how much does that help to have a sports psychologist at
home? I was just
going to
say,
I don't do work with her. That's kind of like we just kind of stayed away from that. I feel like it would be weird.
Does she ever like psychoanalyze you? Like, you need to do this?
She probably does. Yeah. But I don't know. Not really.
Don't you think from like her perspective, if she sees you in a down spot, she just kind of knows from her profession
what he needs,
how to handle herself so that it doesn't make your life any more stress or your situation more stressful? I mean, that's kind of what sports psychologists do.
Yeah,
take
she is really good at that. Yeah. That is something that's helped a lot. Like me coming home after a long day, she would have some food. Like she's like one of the best cooks I've been around. She's incredible.
What a lady.
Yeah, like she's obviously like busy all throughout the day, but she still like kind of puts that time aside to help me out and
that's
help
huge.
Me do what I need to do. Yeah.
That's so sick.
So it's awesome.
What's the Trent Taylor plan for after football? What'd you get your degree in?
Finance. I never actually finished my degree.
I had
4 classes left.
You gonna go back and do that or fuck it?
Like every time I'm like, I like talk to like some financial people or like some guys that I have investments with that I could possibly go into work with. Anytime I mention it, like, yeah, I want to go back and finish. They're like, dude, you don't need to finish that. Like you really don't need to, but it's kind of like the thought of it. I just want to like finish what I started type of thing.
Feels good to like,
yeah,
run the whole race.
Yeah. Instead of like the whole life being like, yeah, I almost got my degree type of
thing. Like when someone like me asks a question, you're like,
hey, yeah, now I got to explain this whole story.
I understand. Sorry to bring that up. This is a little bit of a sore subject. No. Do you think you'd want to do something in finance or because once you get out, you know, you made a little money with the league and you're like, I can kind of pursue whatever path I want to do.
Yeah, finance is kind of like a good base degree to have. Yeah. I think it's just like important to understand money and
absolutely
like what to do with it and how it works. So yeah, I mean, I've kind of met with some financial advisors where I'm like, this doesn't seem like a blast.
No, it does not seem like a blast.
I can just see Trent sitting in the office like,
yeah,
I
don't know.
I like the way.
This isn't the barn, dude. Yeah. Take me back to the
cubicles.
Barn.
We're the psycho guys that I can get along with and like throw some weight around.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But yeah, who knows? We'll see what happens.
I feel like when you're in something like an NFL or you're a professional athlete, a lot of guys, it's just like, I'm just trying to go day by day and just get another year.
I know some guys who like finish their degrees like in the off season.
Yeah.
And like some of my coaches have like mentioned, like my college coaches are like, you want to do this during the off season? I'm like, that's the last thing that I want to do.
No, I want to not think about.
I have this small window of time to make as much money as possible. Why would I waste time?
Yeah.
Getting my degree. I mean, you know, teach their own, but that's how I think of it.
Yeah.
But,
well, you got anything else? Anybody?
I'm curious. So I feel like one thing like Conference USA guys, it's always like sneaky, really good offensive talent. In the NFL, is that like a thing that does? And when you're at a Conference USA school, do you guys like pride yourself on like developing kind of like under the radar talent? But I feel like when it's like at Iowa, they're always like, oh, like we know like no one's gonna like love us or whatever, but like we show it in the NFL. Is it kind of similar in Conference USA where it's like we know we crush it, right? Like, but it's just we got to get there. We got to show up.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it perfectly. There's like so many talented dudes. Like that's why most of our games are like 40 to 45.
Dude, at the crazy end. Games.
And y'all, like Iowa's the complete opposite of that. I think, yeah, that's the thing. There's just like so much offensive talent that goes to those like mid-range schools.
Wild. Right.
Because they know that they can go in and they'll get a bunch of catches and, you know, get a lot of highlights off
your
that.
Games are like basketball games, honestly.
It's pretty wild.
Are you tight with other Conference USA dudes in the league? Like, you ever, like, play the Patriots? Like, oh, Bailey Zappi, I know what you went through, like, Conference USA.
Yeah, like...
like, we're the same.
Anytime I played against Aaron Jones, we would always dab each other up. And, you know, Richie James from Middle Tennessee, he's with the Chiefs now. We were teammates with him in San Fran for a while.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, all those guys that you play in Conference USA, there's, like, a different type of bond. It's like, okay,
look across the line.
We made it.
We're fucking doing it, baby. Yeah, it's like that's like when like a 2A guy in Iowa makes it, starts playing it for the Hawks. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I fucking did it. I did it. Well, we appreciate you sitting down with us.
I appreciate you guys.
This is where the real show is happening. As we record this, Pardon My Take is recording with George right over there. So
they wanted me over there. I was like, nah, I'm going to the Walk-On podcast. Yeah,
that, sure. I wish that was true. that we could actually pull more than they could. But we're happy you sat down. Thanks for joining, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Thanks for listening, guys. Check us out next time. Till then, peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.